good. Poke your neighbor. Wake them up after all that apple pie and chili dogs. Who ate a chili dog? A few of you. All right. Who ate meatloaf?
I'm going to.
Who made sure you got dessert? I think nearly everybody. All right. Well, we're going to get started a little bit early. We're going to pick a couple tunes and then turn it over to Larry. Y'all ready? Let's get going. Brother Larry Wrightly.
Killing it on the old banjo.
Oh, I said two. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
We miss you, buddy. Those of you who went to baptism, you saw him down in that cold water baptizing too, didn't you? And that was this gentleman's first time in the cold water.
Yes, and it was cold.
It was cold.
Refreshing.
Refreshing. That's right. That's right. Ron, get up here. You want to say something real quick?
Yes, sir.
All of you know Mr. Ron Owen here. Our big bass, yeah, big bass guy.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You guys are the best people we've ever met in our entire life. There's nobody, no congregation that beats this one. We want to, Lori and I and Lacey and Zoe and Goose, we want to thank you guys for showing us love and support, for all the gifts, for coming to the auction, staying and buying. I'm coming with deep pockets. Never seen anything like it. We love you, and we appreciate you and appreciate everything you've done. Thank you.
That was the best $80 I've ever spent on a dozen peanut butter cookies. I'm eating half one a day so I don't run out of them. Very good. All right, when you can't be here, folks, you know you can watch online at SockRiverCowboyChurch.com on Apple Podcasts like a lot of people are doing out there right now watching us. So to them and all of you here tonight, may I say welcome home to Sauk River Cowboy Church. Glad to have y'all. Big hand for this band, will you? Any visitors here tonight? First time visitors, never been here before. Right here. Glad to have you folks. Yeah. We got you a newsletter too, didn't we? All right, good. We hope you like it and come back and see us, okay? All right, for those that don't know, everything we have going on is in that newsletter we have out there on our tables, or read it online at SockRiverCowboyChurch.com, okay? We're needing volunteers to help with children's church, and that info is in that newsletter, too, who to get a hold of. Help with those kiddos. Circle of Sisters Prayer and Bible Study Monday night, 6 p.m., right here at the Event Center. Band of Brothers, first and third Sunday of every month. And this Sunday, I guess, next one is at 1 p.m. Now, are you going to stay at 1 p.m., Band of Brothers, or going to be 1 p.m.? Going to stay at 1 p.m., all right. That's the first and third Sunday every month. This coming Saturday at the Livestock Center, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Sunday, 9:30 to 11:30, we're going to be taking pictures for our new church directory. Next week here at the barn, they'll be taking pictures Thursday, 2 to 4, Saturday, 9 to 2, and noon to 2, on Sunday. Other dates, times, and locations are in that newsletter. So I don't want to say that anymore. It's all in there. No appointments needed. If you want copies of the pictures, all you got to do is give them your email, and they'll email those pictures to you so you can have them made up then. The Rare Breed, homeless teens, we try to help at least every winter. They're needing men's shoes for all the teenage young men out there sleeping in the woods right now, okay? Baptism of the River was totally awesome. Would you guys agree? Yeah. 51 were baptized. Now, you can also, if you decide to do it any other time, you can also be baptized here at this service, this church, or over at the Livestock Center, too. We've got tanks. We can do it. So we can do it any time of the year if you decide you want to or somebody decides they want to do that, all right? Thank you for the ladies in the kitchen for a great meal afterward, too. And old Bo, that pig he cooked up was good, too. And also all of you that brought food, too. Birthdays. Anybody got a birthday this week? Birthdays. Not a birthday? Anniversary? Hey! Two very special people got an anniversary this week. Who's going to sing it?
Happy birthday to you. Happy anniversary to you. I'm a bass singer today. Your birthday and anniversary. Happy birthday and anniversary to y'all, Ewens and you guys.
All right.
You can't sing that without singing them both together, birthday and anniversary. So we'll just do it that way. All right. You know, I put something to think about together several days ago. You know, I like to do those things. After what happened yesterday, though, I'm not doing the one I had. Sometimes when I do something to think about, it's about being bold and telling others about Jesus. Politics aside, Charlie Kirk was a bold man about telling others about Jesus. Very bold. Very good at it. He knew his Bible inside and out. He touched and changed so many young adults' lives at colleges across America. And many adults who heard him speak, too. Charlie left behind a wife and two little girls. And thousands of young folks that he brought to Jesus. Yesterday, Charlie heard the words I want to hear one of these days when he arrived up in heaven. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. Charlie's death has made me more determined than ever to do anything and everything I can to be bold in telling others about Jesus. May it do the same for all of you too. Bow with me in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for all these people here today, watching online. Our broken America sure needs you. I pray for America, Charlie Kirk's wife and two little girls. I pray for all those kids, young folks, young adults. I pray for them all whose lives that he touched. Father, thank you for all those who were baptized at the river. I bet you were smiling looking down on that. If anyone here tonight needs to accept Jesus or rededicate their life, I pray they'll take that step that will change their life. Father, we lift up all those going through illnesses or other things in their lives. Whatever they're going through, Father, I pray they take it one day at a time and put it in your hands. And Father, be with Charlie's wife and family. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless America, this church, and all of you. Back to the band.
Thank you, Larry Whiteley. We have a prayer request tonight, and truly, let's continue to lift up the Kirk family as they're dealing with this. What a tragic thing, and keep praying for them. We need to lift up Carol Roush. Says that she lost her cousin, and so please pray for her. And let's lift up Al and Velma Wagner. He's lost his brother, and we need to continue to pray for him as well. And then we have an unspoken prayer request for Sherilyn Shockley's granddaughter. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's pray for them. Lift them up in prayer because we know that God answers prayers. Amen?
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. Before I forget, I didn't write it down, and this one's one that I would like to share with you all. My brother-in-law, he was diagnosed with cancer. He has a tumor that's in the back of his abdomen, and he's in constant pain 24/7, and it's rapidly growing, and so y'all lift him up in prayer as we pray for him. He was just diagnosed Tuesday, so y'all remember Dennis Church in your prayers. Dennis Church. Let's pray together. Lord, we lift these prayer requests up to you tonight. We know that you are the healer. You're the God who supplies all of our needs. And Lord, through scary times, through hard times, through every need, through everything that we face in life, we know that you are in control. And so I pray that you would begin to move in each one of these folks' life, and that you would send peace, that you would send comfort, that you would take away pain, that you would help during grieving, Lord, and that you would provide comfort knowing that, Lord, you're in control and that there is a reunion one day in heaven for those who have accepted you. And we love you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, this one's not in the hymn book, but I think that we could probably all sing this one. So when you hear it, y'all sing with us, okay? And let's sing loud together.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife.
He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. Sing it loud with us.
I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
I am resolved to go to the Savior. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, will walk the heavenly. If you know it better than me, sing it loud.
I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to.
Let's sing that chorus one more time.
I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Jesus, greatest, highest.
Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
All right, turn to page 45. Turn to page 45, Donovan, and a $6 announcement. We had enough of that Saturday, huh?
We'll make it 46.
Page 45.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little.
Just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder, we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure.
Thank you. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. Amen. In search of a city, I want a mansion, guitar and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday our purest gold, but walk on streets that are purest gold. Amen. Y'all were singing good on that one. Let's sing that chorus, just the voices. And I've got a man. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap and worship Him right now. Page 36. Y'all sing this with us.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden share? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Thank you. for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely home to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Do we have time for one more? Yeah. Pastor Scotty's got to get up here and bake that cake. All right, we'll do one more. Y'all turn to page 72.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place.
Sing it loud.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh.
Let's sing it.
We'll get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Pick your mark. Onward!
Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall spread.
There we go.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Let's sing the chorus one more time.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Some fun stuff, wasn't it? Golly. Don't ever tell the board, but I would do this for free. I love this, man. This is so good. So good. So much fun. I'll tell you what. All right. We have a thing we got to celebrate tonight just a little bit. Now, you all know me, and you know that I don't hardly have a brain. And I forget things really fast. And so one of our members, and there's a mama sitting out here that's going to help me out. One of our members had a double lung transplant last week. Where are you, Mama? Where are you? Come on, stand up now and tell us what happened. Can you get the mic over there on her? Tell us what happened. I bet you are. I don't know if he's watching our live stream or not, but if he is, we want to say, bless you, we're praying for you. We're so glad to hear that report about that double lung transplant. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Well, this is our third in the series of, somebody else, did I not get in? Okay, this is the third in our series that I've been preaching on the Christological chapters in the Bible that tell about who Jesus is. You know, I preface each of the teachings. We spend a lot of time looking at the devil or looking at angels or looking at whatever. But I wanted to take these few weeks and next Thursday night as well, and we're going to look into who is Jesus? Who is he? And tonight, this is kind of a cop-out, but I'm going to say he's indescribable. Sorry about that, you know. I'm going to do the best I can. And we'll be looking into the book of Colossians. So if you have your copy of God's Word, thank you, Mark. You notice how I picked up your language there. If you have your copy of God's Word, I want you to look in Colossians chapter 1. We'll start about verse 15. Now, unless you've got a lot of time, don't be asking a grandma or a grandpa to show you pictures of their kids, of their grandkids. Because unless you know, they're going to show you every one of them, right? They're probably going to run the battery down on their phone showing you all the pictures of their kids because they love those kids and you won't get away till you've seen all of them. And so that's how tonight we want to look at this. We love Jesus. We want to know all we can about him. And we're going to try to run the battery down tonight, if we can, to look at him into his face and understand who he is and what he is. But we're just going to have to say, by and large, he's indescribable. Now, the book of Colossians, excuse me, was written by the Apostle Paul with Timothy, was the co-writer. Timothy helped him around 60-62, about the same time the Philippian letter was written. And this is the first when Paul was in prison in Rome. I'm not going to get into all that tonight, but the church at Colossae was a small city in Turkey, and by Lycus, Turkey. If you come up Israel north and go up around the Mediterranean heading toward Europe, you'll go through the country of Turkey, and that's where this church of Colossae was. The letter's purpose was to encourage these people to hold true to who Jesus is, because false teachings had crept in, and Jewish legalism, you know, we've talked about that so much, and Greek philosophy that was rampant in the ancient world, and mystical practices of the pagans. Lots of things were working their way into the early church here in Colossae. And so Paul says, look, guys, you need to know who Jesus is. You need to stop blending all these rituals and extra knowledge and angelic mediators and all the things they were working into their religion. He said, you need to abandon that. Christ is all you need. And by the way, yeah, bake that cake, right? That'll be the one. So Paul writes to show that Christ is supreme and sufficient over all creation. He's over the whole thing. And salvation over the church, every part of life. Now, the key themes in this are the supremacy of Christ. Christ is the visible image of the invisible. We're going to spend a little time tonight trying to show you how he is the image, the invisible. He is the visible image of the invisible God. Because God is spirit, and therefore he does not have fleshly body, but Jesus is God in flesh. So we'll try to run to the edge of that if we can. And how then God holds all things together. Who can you compare to Jesus to? Who can you? You can't compare him to anything. He's incomparable. There's nothing you can say, well, he's like this. So all of these metaphor and analogies tonight that we'll be dragging into this teaching, he's better than all of them. And so none of them are going to fully describe him. What language can you use to describe him? Well, you say, well, you mean like Hebrew or Greek? No, I mean poetry, mathematics, science, philosophy, literature. What languages, what disciplines can you bring to tell about Jesus? You can't. Modern examples will all fail. None of those are going to work. Metaphors don't carry his story. You see, he can't be revealed in a parable. I mean, no matter what you do, you can't get him. So music and poetry, they're simply going to fail when they try to describe the essence of Jesus. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? If you know it, sing along. Wait a minute, I got the words here. Where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. Just throw money. Now, the Bible is the best we have, and it's everything we have to in literature form, in historical form, to bring us and try to tell us about Jesus. But I'm ready. Are you ready for something? But the Bible falls way short of describing him in all of his attributes. No matter how good a job the Bible writers did, and the Holy Spirit has tried to tell us about it, you can't capture him with language. You can't capture him and put him in a book. It's simply, he's bigger than better than that. Now, the Bible does the best it can. So the complete essence of Jesus can never be captured by combining all human knowledge, ingenuity, philosophy. You never can. He's bigger than all of that. So why am I trying to do anything to tell you about it tonight? I don't know. I'm out of my field, but I'm going to try to do my best. But it cannot be done. So then what do you compare him to? Or what analogy do you use to describe him? Well, I don't know, but I'm going to go to what Paul, writing from that Roman prison to the church in Colossae, he used these handles, these metaphors, these analogies to help you get a handle on it. So I'm going to walk down through Paul's language. He says there in verse 15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Now, let's talk about this word image. That is the word that we translate from Greek, and the Greek word is icon. All right, so Jesus is the icon of God. We know what icons are today in our modern use of our computers because we have icons, those little, that tell us what app we got. They have an icon that tries to describe an app, and we push that little button, and it gives us, you know, the full app. But Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. He is the icon of God. Now, Jesus, uh, he's the He's the human image of the invisible God. He is what God is when God translated himself into human form. He came and he was Jesus. So if you want to know God, you got to know him in Christ. Because human beings can only see him and know him in Christ alone. He is everything. So Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's what he told him. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And he went on to talk about those other things. And he said, they said, show us the Father, and that'll suffice us. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Have you seen Jesus tonight? Have you seen him in a spiritual way? Have you invited him into your life? Trusted him by faith? You see, he is the icon of God. And when we want God, we punch that icon. He's the one. And he gives us the full program because that's who Jesus is. Now let's move on. He's the Alpha. In the Greek language, you have an alphabet that's similar to our English. Starts with that Alpha. This is kind of curious. You're going to love this. The first in Greek is Alpha, Beta, Alpha, Beta, Delta. And that's what we call it, our alphabet. See, that's where we get our word alphabet, because it's Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta. Okay, you see where that? All right, so this is the Alpha. He's the first letter, the first and the last. He is, in the Genesis chapter 1, he's the Bereshit. He is the beginning. He's in the, and John 1 says, he is God. He was with God. So we covered that in a great deal on when we preached through John chapter 1. But before the Big Bang came into being, Jesus existed. So before there was a place for the physical body of Christ to be in eternity in the universe that wasn't even made yet, he was. He already was. And he existed. Now this blows your mind. He was a human. All the time. Now, how did that work? I have no idea. That's way bigger than me. But he is the human form. He's the human form of God. I don't know what to tell you. That's just everything I know. Now, I know this. He's not a beta test. You know what a beta test is? Today, that's whenever a company's going to put out a new product, they'll run a beta test to see if it's going to work or whatever. Jesus wasn't a beta test. He was the Alpha. He's the Alpha and the Omega. I mean, he's the first one, and he'll be the last one. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's no test. He is reality and perfection. Where did God come from? Has your kids ever asked you that? Your grandkids said, where did God come from? Well, guys, I want to tell you something. That's been kicked around for as long as there's been a human being to try to figure out where did God come from. And I want to tell you this. Even if you knew the answer, you couldn't understand it. Your brain won't do that. You're not wired to understand where God came from. Okay, because our human brains are just not capable of understanding that ultra-dimensional truth of who God is and where did he come from. So it's just we're not capable of understanding that answer. We're here to hear him, but we're not here. We don't know the answer to that. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the bookend of the physical and spiritual reality. Everything started as spirit, and then, of course, then the physical came, and he's the bookends of that. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He's the beginning and the end and everything in the middle. Now, if there's anything bigger than the Alpha and the Omega, no, there isn't. Because he is whatever was, he was already there. See how much trouble we're going to have with this language? No. Language is going to limit us. We don't have the words to describe these things. So he has always been there. He's the bookend. The physical realm was God's creation, and nothing preceded him. Nothing was before Jesus was. Nothing. And nothing's going to follow him. Nothing different's coming. He is the original, and he's the whatever the last one is. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Okay. Well, so we've seen already he's the Alpha. He's the icon. He's the Alpha. That's what Paul's telling us. And then he is Father. He is Father. I love that term, don't you? I hope you had a good father. If you didn't, you can imagine what a perfect father is. We all can imagine that and what that would be like and how that perfect father would love us and support us and be there for us and not judge us, but teach us and discipline us lovingly. You know, we can imagine what that father would be like. I hope you had a good father. If not, use your imagination. But generally, the New Testament teaches us to call Jesus Lord, Savior, King, Brother, but not Father. We don't hear that often. However, it is a biblical concept because he himself prayed to and points to the Father. So it is an interesting thing, but there are a few places and reasons why Jesus may be spoken of in fatherly way. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he's the everlasting Father. Talking about the Messiah, Jesus. He said he's the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace and all and on, for Father of Eternity. This doesn't mean that Jesus and God the Father are the same person. See, here we go. We're lost again in this concept of trying to explain it. But they're distinct from each other, even though they're in the Trinity as one. But they exist in that different existence in the Trinity separately as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But all at the same time, they're one. Now, I'm done. I'm already past what I can talk about. So good luck. But so he is the everlasting Father. But Jesus has a father-like role toward his children. He has that loving father-like role, protecting, providing, and caring. That shepherding role. A good father is like a good shepherd. And we get in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I give them eternal life. We listen to that voice of the father, of the shepherd. And like a good father, he guides, he protects, he disciplines, and he nurtures. He does all those things that a father does. And we also have a spiritual fatherhood of believers. As believers, Paul sometimes called himself a father in the faith to those who he led to Christ. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, for instance, chapter 4, Paul was talking about how he was the father of those who came to Christ through him. And in a greater way, Jesus is the father of the new creation. He started off the one through whom we are born again into eternal life. He is our heavenly Father. Again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All in one, but we can think of him as Father as well. God is more than binary. That's a modern word today. Everybody said, what? God is more than binary. Yeah. He's multi-binary. He's more than binary. Let's just say that. Let me explain it a little bit. We call him he. Okay, the pronouns we use for him are, how would we describe a good father? How good he is. But in some ancient cultures, he's called the many-breasted one. And we can lean for succor on his breast and be nurtured as a mother. So even though it makes our skin crawl to think of God being a woman and a mother, because we're not, he can be thought of that in that nurturing sense. But he's Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we have to, I'm not trying to be New Agey here or stretch your theology or tell you anything new. I just want you to know pronouns can never describe what God is or how good he is or how big he is. Pronouns are never going to be able to describe him. All right, we call him he, and I'm going to always call him he, okay, and Father. But I want you to know he's bigger than that concept. He is brother. Yeah, any of you had brothers? You love them and you want to kill them all at the same time. You know. But Jesus took on our humanity. Hebrews 2:11 says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. So in the best sense of the word, theologically speaking, we are brothers with Jesus. He is our brother, our older brother, but he is our brother. And we can think of him because we are children of the Father. So in essence, technically, we are brothers. By becoming fully human, Jesus shared our flesh and our blood. Jesus entered into our condition, and he wasn't a distant savior. He wasn't in orbit around the planet. I mean, he came right here, was born in a manger. He walked with us. He talked with us. He was one of us. He became one of us, and we call him brother because of that. Now, Jesus shares our family relationship with the Father. When Jesus rose from the dead, he told Mary Magdalene, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God," he said in John 20. Now, through his death and resurrection, he brought us into God's family. This is the coolest part of understanding and knowing who Jesus is. It's family. We've been brought into the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Remember that old song? That old Gaither song? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been brought in as an adopted child. See, through his death and his resurrection, he made us family because he is son by nature and he was the son and daughters by adoption. We share in that same family, and that makes Jesus our older brother. That's who he is. Jesus also identifies with us in our weaknesses. As a brother, he understands, as a brother, as human, as brother, he understands our weaknesses. And boy, we have them, don't we? Our frailties, our problems, our sicknesses, our humanity. He was tempted just as we are. How many of you have been tempted today to sin? You lying bunch of people. We've all been tempted to sin. Do you know Christians, we all are tempted. Did you know that from time to time? But just because you're tempted, well, let's put it like this. Just because the birds fly around your head, you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. Are we communicating? All right, we're all tempted, but we don't have to sit there and help and ruminate on it. So he identifies with our weaknesses, tempted. He sympathizes with our struggles, understands our trials, stands beside us as our faithful high priest. He's there in all those things, identifying himself with our weaknesses. Thank you, Lord, for identifying with us and loving me through this. He also leads the family of God. Romans says, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Now, I want you to get that. The language is so important there. Those he knew, God knew, but he saw us before we came to him, and he's going to turn us into the likeness. We've been predestined to be turned into the likeness of Jesus. That's what he's trying to tell us here, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Brothers. As firstborn, Jesus is the rightful heir. He's the leader and the example of God's family. And I tell my brother Lonnie all the time, I'm the firstborn in our family. And so therefore, all the inheritance comes to me. And then, he knows I'm teasing. So why do we call him brother? Because in his grace, he humbled himself to stand with us, to save us, to bring us into God's family. He is our Lord and Savior, but he is also our brother, a close, compassionate, and committed to us forever, the close one. He's brother, and that's who Jesus is. Well, let's keep going. What else do we know about him? Well, he's the maker. When I was a kid, I used to hear people talk about God all the time as the maker, the one that made everything. He's the maker. And is supreme over all creation, verse 15, and is supreme over all creation, verse 16, for through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see, the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Our universe is not the product of random, spontaneous, chaotic creation. It is not the product of that. This universe we live in is clock-like. It has rules. It has physics. It has mathematics that can describe it because it is precise, the precision of our universe. It couldn't just happen. You've heard me tell many times this story that a tornado went through a junkyard and it blew a 747 together, loaded with gas, and the engine's running. Yeah, sure it did. Now that's chaotic, random stupidity, really. And to think that this universe just created itself and found itself wound up with all that intricate and precision and physics and everything just accidentally, I think the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. I think it takes a fool to come to that conclusion. And if you're watching tonight and that offends you, I'm sorry. You're a fool if you don't believe in God. Because there is a God. Our universe has intelligent design. Our scientists today are truly discovering this. They don't want to admit it. I mean, they hate to say it. But when they look deeply into the backgrounds of things, into the quantum, into the classic physics, the small and the large, when they look into those things deeply and far enough, they see order. And they say, oh, my soul, this much order has to have had a design. It's coming from someone, something. Somebody's designing this. And so it says here the things we can see are organized, and then the things we can't see, they're also organized. Now, we talk about that today in modern science as the macro, small, and the micro, I got it backwards. But you see what I'm saying? Classics physics is the study of the big. Okay, if you want to study the universe, you use classic physics to study the universe. You talk about numbers. You talk about light years. You talk about distances and orbital dynamics and mechanics, and that's all classic physics. But then you get those microscopes and you peer into the small world, the very, 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 very small world, and that's quantum physics. You get down into that, down inside the atom, and even down lower and lower and lower. And you know that even there's a man named Planck. He discovered that there is a bottom line. You can only take it so far. There's a place where you can't divide it anymore. Isn't that cool? I mean, that didn't just happen. Whoa, there's much excitement today in this area, especially of the quantum physics. We're talking about superposition, entanglement, and even faster than light particles. We've discovered that some particles travel backward in time, some forward in time. I mean, this sounds like science fiction. I mean, what's going on in the world of physics today? It's like, are you serious? Listen to this. Everything we learned from Einstein on is now being reversed. There is such thing as faster than light speed. Things can go faster than light. And I don't want to go into this. But the things we can't see. Also, there is what we see, the classic, the quantum, but there's also things we can't see. Now, here we go. Now we're back into preacher business, where I don't know what I'm talking about, but at least I have the Bible to reference here. In the unseen realm, we call it the spirit world. Now, it is as real as this world we live in, and even though none of us have ever seen it, We can't touch it. We can't smell it. We can't measure it. We can't analyze it. But it is as real. I can't tell you how many phone calls I've gotten today. And this is sort of how they've all kind of spin out. What is going on in our world? I mean, I've had that asked to me all time today. What's going on in our world? It seems like the devil's just been turned loose in our world. School shootings, assassinations. What's going on in our world today? I mean, bombers are being sent to this, and the fleet is going over to China. You know, oh my gosh, what is going on? Is the devil just, there's a spirit war going on in our world. And the devil, I believe, has come to the conclusion that we're getting close to the end, and he's doing everything he can to mess this world up. I think he knows his time is short. So just because you can't see something does not mean it doesn't exist. If I had time, I'd talk to you about how limited human vision is, how little we can actually see in the spectrum of light, of what we can see from, you know, dogs can see more than us. Animals see more than we do. Have you ever seen a cat laying in a room and all of a sudden go and just get up and run off? Nothing in this world but that cat saw something. You know what I'm talking about? What do you see, dude? What is wrong with him? Or animals can hear things that we can't hear too. Of course, I'm getting where I can't hardly hear anything, but you know the point is. So we've got this spirit world. Our senses are limited. Our brains are limited. They're not. I mean, our eyes limit what we can see. We can't see past the spectral edges. We can hear frequencies, but there's so many we can't. So point is, if we could peer into the spirit world, we would see that it is organized and it has order. The spirit world is organized and has order, just like our physical world is organized and has order in the universe and in quantum and classic physics. Our great creator put everything in the right order. There's chain of command embedded in all the entities in the spirit world that inhabit the heavenlies. They're there. Now, you heard an archangel? Or an archangel is a word that describes the angel that's in charge. That's just what that means. He's the head dog. I mean, he's the head angel. He's the head, the ark. He's the head. Okay, so there's organized there in heaven. There are some angels that aren't ark, in other words. Some are lesser. Now, the world of the righteous as well as the rebel entities are ordered as well. So the devil has order in the spirit world. Yeah, the spirit world and evil is ordered and organized as well as the good side. Now, in the letter to the Ephesians, we read about the order of that. And I'm going to just kind of briefly pull you the drippings out of Ephesians where we learn this. He is the first in the heavenly chain of command. Jesus is the first in the heavenly chain of command. He is in charge. All right? He's large and in charge in heaven. Ephesians tells us Christ is raised and seated far above all rule and authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, every name that can be named, he's in charge of it. So whatever's out there in the universe, in the spirit world, Jesus is in charge of it. He's ahead of it. In Ephesians 3:10, God's wisdom is made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms through the church. Now in Ephesians 6:12, we read, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Did you guys know that we never have a fight against another human? There's probably people that aggravate you and you feel like you want to fight them. But our fight's not with human to human. Our real fight is spirit. And when someone is acting like their spiritual father in heaven, the evil one, when they act like the devil and we want to fight against them, we have to understand who we're fighting. Right? See the real source behind it. Well, let's go back to who Jesus is. So who is he? He's the God of order. He is the answer. He is the, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I was out of time. But I'm going to keep going. He is the answer to the question. When I was in philosophy class, I walked in that class that day, and the professor, the first thing he said was, "Why is there something instead of nothing?" I thought, I'm in the wrong place. How could I figure out a question like that? Why is there something instead of nothing? In other words, why is there a universe? Why are we here? You know, it'll really blow your brain. Why are we here? Why are you here? We're here because God wanted us to be here. Now, that's what I need to tell you today. Everything was created through him. Are you ready? And for him. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about him. We think we live in a universe that where man is the center of it. We think the earth is, we're the center of everything on the earth. We're not. It's all about him, and it's for him. The universe was made for him. And 17, he's the glue that holds it all together. I wish I had time to tell you about that. Physicists can't figure out what's holding the electron and the neutron and the all that proton in the atom. What holds them together? Why don't they fly apart? I can tell you why. Because Jesus is the glue. He's got them all held together. He existed before anything else was, and he holds all things together. He's the gravitational force, the electronic. I don't want to get into all that, but he's the force that holds. He's the head, and then he's the model for resurrection. He's the first that showed us what it's going to be like. And one day, friends, you're going to be living in a resurrected body. And when you get there, you're going to have to understand Jesus was the first one. He had a resurrected body before you, and he's the head of all those that will be resurrected. So we're getting to the, I'm trying to tell you here, he's everything. God is, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. He's everything. Who is he? He's the image of the invisible God, Alpha and the Omega, the glue of creation, the maker. He's the head of the church, the first to be resurrected, and then he's the Prince of Peace. So, how do we put this, how do we take this home? Well, let me just say it like this. Don't try to shrink him down to fit into your life. You just take your life and plug it into his. Give him you. Give him everything you are. He is supreme, sufficient, and he is yours if you'll trust him. He is yours. Father, this evening I thank you that in this third look at who you are, we've covered new ground. We've seen more about you. Now, Lord, we know in a billion years of doing what I'm doing, I would never even get started well, because you're grand and great and beyond understanding. You're indescribable, but I'm just so glad you love me, and that when I think about who you are, you said, think of me like brother, a father, a brother who's close to you. So, Lord, tonight, I'm so glad you're here. I can feel your presence. I know you're here and can sense you. And we walk together as brothers. But my, how much we love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Do me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art holy, do not pass me by.
Sing that chorus again. Let me hear your voices.
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art do not pass me by.
While on others.
And while on others thou art calling, do not pass me.
Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word and for your goodness and for your grace. Lord, thank you for a wonderful message this evening. Help us to apply it to our lives, to treasure it and take it home with us. Keep us safe as we head home and be with us this Sunday as we worship you again together as a church. We love you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.